Earthly Army. Earthly Army will usually have a banner, a captain, and a temporary camping place. We also have these same three things in the Lord's Army. First, consider the banner. For many armies today, this might be a flag or something similar, but the Christian soldier doesn't have a physical banner like a flag. Instead, we have a spiritual banner, and that holds us to a higher standard. And this is how the word banner is used in the Old Testament. For instance, Isaiah tells us what God wanted his people to do. Isaiah 11:12, he will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. God was going to set the standard for the nations, and we have been given a higher standard to follow as Christians. Though those standards come from God's word, while our banner is spiritual, we know everything about our banner by studying our Bibles. It was not uncommon in war that an army would put a lot of emphasis on its banner. If someone was carrying the flag and got killed, someone was right there to pick it up and drive on. We must have soldiers who are willing to put the banner first and are willing to pick it up. And by using God's word, as soon as you stop believing God's higher standard, you will lose your drive and your focus, and you will be defeated by the enemy. Many armies also have a captain. This is the person the soldiers look up to and listen to. The captain has the experience, the knowledge, and how to defeat the enemy. If you're going to be successful, you must trust your captain and follow his orders. Well, the same thing is true in the Lord's army, because Jesus is our captain, as expressed in Hebrews 2, verse 10. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom all things are in, bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. As Christian soldiers, we must put our trust in Jesus and listen to what he has to say in his word. Jesus knows all about the devil and how to deal with him and put him in his place. So if we want to be successful in the Lord's army, we must obey our captain's orders and never doubt him. In most armies, a soldier has a place he can call his permanent home, because most armies establish... I'm sorry, I read that wrong. In most armies, a soldier never has a place to call his permanent home. They always establish temporary residence wherever they go. So basically, when it comes to fighting in the battlefield, the soldiers live out of tents, and at a moment's notice, they pack up and leave. So Christian soldiers are the same way, because no matter where we live on this earth, even if we live there for 40 years, this is just a temporary home. We're just camping out, because our permanent home is going to be in eternity, found in heaven. And this principle is taught in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims of the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they came out of, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better place, and that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Hebrews 13, verse 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. So now that we've examined a little bit of similarities between the Lord's army and an earthly army, let's look at some of the duties that a soldier would do in both of those armies. One of the duties is for a soldier to continue forward, driving forward, no matter what. Bullets may be flying around, things are blowing up around them, but they press on so they can advance on their enemy. The same thing is true in the Christian's army. As the title of our lesson says, Onward Christian Soldiers, we must keep moving forward in our battle against the devil and sin. We must never stop putting one foot in front of the other, because if we ever do, then the temptations of life will start gaining power, and they may overcome us and cause us to sin. Like the example we learned from Moses when he was leading the children of Israel out of bondage. They appeared to be trapped at the edge of the river, and Pharaoh and his men were coming to them. And Moses said in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." While God was on their side and would help them, he did not want them to just sit there and do nothing. Because notice what he said next in Exodus chapter 14 in verse 15. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen.'" God wanted his people to move forward, and to keep moving forward, that is exactly what you and I must do. We cannot allow the distractions of the world or sorrow keep us from moving forward, because we have a battle to win and our soul is on the line. We need to have the attitude of Paul, who said in Philippians 3, verse 14, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind." I hope you'll examine yourself in this area so you can see if you are moving forward spiritually. If you're not moving forward, then let's try to remedy that today and start moving forward. Another important duty of the soldier is to try to enlist as many other soldiers as you can, because the more soldiers you have, the more opportunity you have to advance on the enemy. In fact, sometimes the best recruits may come from your enemy's lines. We can certainly see this when it comes to Christianity, because of our soldiers that we enlist comes from the enemy's side, in that all accountable people are sinners until they become Christian soldiers. I can't think of a better example than Saul of Tarsus, but in his case was a little different, because he thought he was a soldier for God, and he thought his battle against Christians was the right thing to do. But of course it was not, which is why he said later in Acts chapter 26 verse 9, "Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities." Also in Philippians 3, verse 7, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So at first, Saul was doing the work of the devil when he thought he was actually doing the work of God. But once he enlisted into the Lord's army, he took his great zeal and used it to fight against God's people and started fighting back at the enemy. And he became one of the hardest working apostles for the Lord. So it's our Christian duty to enlist as many people as we can in the Lord's army for our enemy's side, because not only does it add numerically to the Lord's army, you may be the person that enlists a man like Saul who has the potential to make a huge difference in our battle against evil. But the question becomes, are you fulfilling your duty as a Christian soldier by inviting people to church or by telling people about Jesus? Another important duty of a soldier is to obey what they are told. If they are told to climb a mountain and dig a 15-foot deep hole with their shovel, they must obey without question. If a soldier fails to obey orders, many times it can cost others their lives. Again, the same thing is important in a Christian soldier. We must obey our Lord's commands because our soul is on the line and we don't want to lose it to our enemy. Hebrews 5, verse 8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. The Hebrew writer makes it clear. If we want to have salvation, then we must obey the author of the salvation, which is Jesus. He is not asking us to do anything that he would not do. He obeyed the Father perfectly while he lived on earth, and he wants us to strive to do the same. Sometimes we find it difficult to obey God's word, divorce, remarriage, but if we want to be faithful soldiers of Christ, we must obey his commands, no matter what personal sacrifices we have to make. The apostles are great examples of this, because it would have been much easier for them to be silent and not speak about Jesus in public, like the Sanhedrin council wanted them to do. But they wanted to put God first, no matter what the cost. And when they were asked why they disobeyed the orders, they said in Acts 5, verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than man. What kind of soldier have you been in this area? Have you been obedient even when it hurts to do the right thing? Or have you found yourself doubting and being disobedient? If you've been doubting and been disobedient, I hope you'll realize that God's wisdom surpasses all understanding and that we must trust his judgment no matter what the situation may be. He is right, we are wrong, and he wants the best for us. If we continue to be disobedient, we're going to find ourselves fighting on the wrong side, and we will lose that battle and our soul to the devil. Another duty of soldiers, to endure hardship. When soldiers are fighting their enemy in foreign countries, they have to endure extreme weather conditions, exhaustion, hunger. Some of them press on even though they have been injured, because they are willing to endure so their country might win. Again, Christian soldiers should be willing to do the same. As Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of his life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. When you live a Christian life, there are going to be times when you have to be willing to endure the fight and good fight of faith. The devil wants you to give up and yield to your temptations, but you must not listen to him. You must not listen to the world. Instead, you should focus your attention on being pleasing to your captain, Jesus Christ. As James says in James 1, verse 12, blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Another area we must endure and contend with is our past failures. Again, the devil would love if we would start thinking about our past failures, because if you start dwelling on the past, you will not move forward, which is why Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. How about you? Are you willing to endure the hardships of life for the sake of your soul? Are you willing to do what it takes that you can receive the crown of life? God offers every faithful Christian in heaven. If you haven't been enduring, then the devil has you right where he wants you. So I hope you'll start enduring today. Another duty is to be strong and courageous. When men and women train to be soldiers in the army, they have to go through rigorous training. So they will have the strength to press on, and the army does everything they can to instill courage in their soldiers. Because when strength and courage are combined, you'll have a soldier that will give his all for his country. Same thing as Christian soldiers. We should all be training and working so that we can be strong and courageous spiritually. As Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The stronger we become spiritually in handling God's word, the more courageous we will be in God's word, which is called the sword of the Spirit. But if we don't train with that sword and learn how to use it, we might as well go to battle with a butter knife. We must never neglect studying God's word. And we must stop being cowards when it comes to telling people about Jesus and what his word says. We should always do our best to aim for people's hearts so it might be pricked by the truth. We need to take God's advice as Joshua did in Joshua 1, verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. As soldiers in the Lord's army, we must learn to be strong and courageous for the Lord by keeping his commandments and not turning to the left or the right. Hebrews 13, verse 6 says, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Another duty of a soldier is to be alert. If you're not paying attention to your surroundings, your enemy can sneak up on you. Same thing is true in a Christian soldier. If you keep your head buried in the sand and you only look up long enough to eat and work, you're making yourself weak. You're not helping the kingdom of God. When we fail to listen to what is going on around us, we choose to stay ignorant. Sin can sneak in the back door of our lives and also in the church. Jesus gives us some good advice. He says in Mark 14, verse 38, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So as good soldiers, we must always pay attention to our surroundings. always renewing our strength by praying to God. And as Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Not only do we need to remain alert for ourselves, we need to remain alert for our congregation. Because when Christians stop paying attention, false doctrine can enter the church. You must understand that false teachings don't happen overnight. It's a gradual process that flies under the radar. Notice Paul points out this in Ephesians, to the Ephesians elders in Acts 20, verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So if you haven't been paying attention about what's going on around you, I would encourage you to start paying attention, because it could lead to sin, and corruption could enter the church without us even knowing it. One last duty is a soldier must be positive in his influence on his fellow soldiers, because if he is scared and full of doubt, he can pass his doubt and fear to the other soldiers. But if he is confident and courageous, he can pass that on to his fellow soldiers. Don't ever underestimate the influence you have on others. The same thing is true when it comes to the Lord's army. We must encourage one another and build each other up, because we do make each other stronger and more confident in the Lord. However, if someone starts sowing discord and starts bringing people down, it will weaken the Lord's army. And the Lord cannot use soldiers that have lost their true trust in God and who are entangled in useless arguments. Proverbs 6, verse 14. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. So as soldiers of Christ, we must always try to be a positive influence on not only ourselves and keeping our attitude right, but it will also help to edify other saints, allowing us to go out into the world to be better Christians and better prepared to defend God's word when given the opportunity. So as I've shared with you this evening, some similarities about the earthly army versus the Lord's army, I would like to read one last passage, starting in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, starting in 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparations of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. I hope I've said something tonight to kind of make you realize and understand that if we are not on our guard at all times, that it will be very easy for our enemy to come and filter into our perimeter. So, with that being said, if there's anyone out in the audience that would like to come forward, I encourage you to do so as we stand and sing. Oh, do not let